6 o'clock Thursday night, and time to kick off Super Scoreboard on Clyde One.
Good evening and welcome along to Thursday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Jerry McCulloch, on the show tonight. Come to Hampden and boo us if you want. Scotland assistant manager Mark McGee's message to the Tartan Army after a dour 1-1 draw with Canada served as no great appetizer to Sunday's World Cup qualifier against Slovenia. McGee says last night's game was irrelevant. So what was the point? Gordon Strachan disagrees too, saying that last night's match told him a number of things that he will take into account on Sunday. Rangers are still in debt despite posting an operating profit. Unaudited accounts show losses of £238,000 for the 6 months up until the end of 2016, £50,000 up on the previous year. Dave King, who along with the so-called Three Bears have kept the club afloat with loans, says no more borrowing will be needed now for the remainder of this campaign. Also, reports today suggest the search for Caixinha's number three has come down to three: Barry Ferguson, John Brown or Peter Lovenkrantz. Who do you want out of those three? And as Morton looked to go a whole year undefeated at home, yes, a whole calendar year, let's hear from you, Morton fans, and your thoughts on whether you might just actually win the championship this season. Yes, welcome along to the programme. It's a Thursday, so Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here taking your calls on 0141 951 1025 at Clyde SSB is where we are on Twitter. Canada were 117 in the FIFA World Rankings going into last night's game. Scotland 67. We'll hear the contrasting thoughts of Gordon Strachan and his assistant Mark McGee. He says, Gordon Dalziel, come to Hampden and boo us if you want on Sunday night. Let me twist it. Is there much to cheer?
Not after last night, but you can look at it both ways, Jerry. The management of Scotland will probably come out and say, well, we needed the game. We haven't played for months. We wanted to try one or two players. We gave the Celtic lads a rest, but it'll be a different team. It'll be a different atmosphere. It'll be different. The one thing that it grabbed me right away last night, I was watching Gordon Strachan doing his interview before the game. And for a Scotland manager to say, oh, it's a cold night and the pitch isn't great, you still get 9,000 fans turning up to cheer on in the country. And for the assistant manager, Mark McGee, I find that astonishing comment to say, come and boo us. No, sorry, come and support the country. We will do our very best to win this game, which is a massive, massive game for us. I think that's a negative more than a positive. Mark might look at it differently by saying, well, we're not really caring what you think. We still believe this is the best way to go. But for the assistant manager of our country to say to our fans, come and boo us and one of the most
Is he not Mark Wilson saying to the fans, listen, you pay your money, we understand that it's not great at the moment, and he does say that, they do acknowledge that, but he's basically saying to them, yeah, please still come and support us. If you want to vent your frustration, if things are bad, then fair enough, boo us if you want, but come and support us.
Yeah, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for backing, and Scotland badly need it just now, if I'm honest, because nothing much is going great on the pitch. And we hear about this, you know, a good crowd gives you an extra man, an extra lift. In Scotland's case, I think they need that right now. They need everyone behind them. And if Mark McGee, if that's his way of getting them to come along, so be it. But there's not a lot to cheer about.
Be careful what you wish for.
Well, there's not a lot to cheer about just now. I mean, Gordon Strachan and the Scotland coaching team would have taken the game, and there's no getting around it, for some confidence. You play Canada before a qualifier to get confidence and score goals and get the spirit of the camp up. And last night, I thought, went the other way for him. He's taken a wee bit of confidence away. Even Gordon Strachan saying he's learned a few things. I think the things he's learned is you can't play
half
most of the
players.
There's only maybe three, maybe Anya, Mulgrew and Snodgrass, who could probably toss in on Sunday. The rest, he's probably thinking, I've learned a lot about them. No thanks. you'll not feature on Sunday.
Well, let's hear then from Mark McGee and from Gordon Strachan. We've also got Chris McGovern who's on the line, and Chris is, in his own words, terrified for Sunday's game. Well, Scotland's 1-1 draw with Canada last night at Easter Road hasn't exactly set the country on course for a Hampden roar on Sunday night when Slovenia are the visitors in a World Cup qualifier. In fact, assistant manager Mark McGee, as I've said, is so keen for the fans to turn out, he's told them they can even boo the team if they want. The bizarre comment was made earlier today when McGee sat in front of the media. He began by putting a positive spin on the 9,000 or so fans who turned up last night.
Yeah, well, I think given the weather and the conditions last night, I think that we were quite pleased with the crowd, to be absolutely honest. I thought it'd be less than that. I'm not sure what's expected at Hampden, you know, but I would only implore the supporters, you know, to worst come along, and if we're rubbish, boo us. You know, but come along, because you never know, we might be decent and we might have something to cheer about. Certainly, I can only say to them, I know there's a group of players going into this game that hugely determined. They are positive regardless of previous results, because they are players that are playing well and in good situations within their clubs at the moment. So we expect, you know, to see something really, really positive, a positive reaction on Sunday night that the supporters could enjoy.
Positive, a positive reaction. That's what he's expecting. Chris McGovern, you're terrified.
Terrified, Jerry, absolutely. Because I watched the game last night, and I mean, I think there was at least three Scotland players last night who should never wear a dark blue jersey ever again. Chris Martin, you're barely getting a Coldplay up front, and he, Chris Martin's shocking. Akech Hanya's not a right back. I get he's a winger, but play there and try your best. Dan Fletcher, he's done. He shouldn't be playing for Scotland. He's too old now. You know, Robert Snodgrass was well below par. Oliver Burke is worth £13 million. I wouldn't pay 13 quid for him. He was shocking last night in the first half.
All right, we're about to hear from Mark McGee, who says, listen, last night's irrelevant. Nothing to do with Sunday. A lot of players who have been playing a lot for their clubs were rested last night, so they weren't playing. Those players are going to come back in when it really counts. What do you say to that, Chris?
But, well, see, at the end of the day, right, I mean, let's see, okay, if you take last night out of the equation, just look at the qualifiers as a whole, right, we were great against Malta, beat them 5-0, fantastic, and then we were lethargic against Lithuania, we get slaughtered against Slovakia, we get embarrassed against England. England, I'll take away, we should be better than guys at Lithuania and Slovakia, surely, Jerry, surely, we've got better players than them.
Yeah,
and we couldn't even pick up. And we can't pick up maximum points, surely. We should be sitting in that group right now, behind England, and we should really be...
Well, we are.
You know, we are behind England, but we're sitting...
And Slovenia, and Slovakia, and Lithuania.
Exactly. The only team we've beaten is Malta, and let's be fair, no disrespect to Malta, but they're a pub team. And Lithuania and Slovakia... Lithuania, surely we're better than Lithuania. Slovakia and Slovenia, okay, I'll give you that, but...
I just wonder, Chris, if other nations around the world are beginning to refer to Scotland as a pub team, if you like. Here's, stay on the line. Here's Stevie and Barhead on this. Hi, Stevie. You're not happy as well?
Evening, Jerry. How you doing?
Hi, Stevie.
Hey, Martin Gordon.
Hi, Stevie.
No, I'm absolutely not. I mean, echo what that guy's just said there. I mean, last night was just an absolute disgrace, to be honest with you. And all this about it doesn't matter and all that. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Every game matters. It was an absolute... Okay, I'd like to pick up on a few points. I'm trying to be brief. Gordon Strachan, I heard... And by the way, that's the first I've heard Matt McGee's interview. I was only going on what you guys had mentioned when I called, but I've actually had the chance to hear what he said, so we'll come to him in a minute, if that's okay. But Strachan made a point before the game, and he said, we're going to use this, you know, to play players, and he specifically said, you know, we need to play players that play in that position for their clubs, and they're used to it, because there's no point doing that, otherwise it's just going to be alien to them, as I think the word they use. So why on earth is he persistent playing Akechi Anya at right back, for example? The guy is so stubborn, it's unbelievable. Look, the guys, as the last chap said, that shouldn't be in the Scotland squad, and I phoned the other night and I ran through a whole list of them. You know, Strachan said, oh, we learned more about last night at the game about what not to do for Sunday. You're a manager of Scotland. Everybody tonight phoning in knows that Chris Martins shouldn't be playing. Barry Banning should be playing and things like that. He's got players down playing week in, week out in English Premiership. He's got Phil Bardsley, a right back. I'm not saying he's everybody's cup of tea, and I know Callum Patterson's a first choice right back, but he's playing week in, week out. in the Premiership just now. Charlie Adams playing week in, week out consistently. The boy Boyd at Burnley playing week in, week out. So you're not telling me that guys like Barry Bannon and Akechanya are on current form or even just generally are better than these players? It's a shambles, an absolute shambles. And see, as for McGee, McGee is, and it's just my opinion, you know, so it's nothing to do with you. McGee, those comments are an absolute disgrace. The Scotland fans have got a right to voice, as any fan does. They've got a right to voice their opinion, they've got a right to if they're not happy or whatever. So the Scotland fans are rightly entitled to boo last night. What gives him the right to say to Scotland fans, come along and boo us, almost goading the fans that are actually going to turn up? What is his actual remit for Scotland?
Yeah,
I'm asking, I don't know what the question is. Did he go and put a few cones out before the game? Like the old pals act with Strachan? It's an absolute disgrace. The two of them need to go. End of story.
Yeah, Stevie, I had a little rant about that comment that Mark McGee said there. The only thing I'll cover up a bit with, as he said, if we're rubbish, then come and boo is entitled to it. I think going into this game, instead of talking about things like the weather and the conditions last night, well, lovely that 9,000 people turned up. The assistant manager said it today. The Scotland manager said it last night. It's nonsense. But Gordon Strachan, and the best man to ask, Mark Wilson's played under Gordon Strachan, and I've got a lot of time for Gordon Strachan. His biggest game for the country is on Sunday. He has got to get a performance and he's got to get a win, because I don't think he can survive if he does not get a victory at Hampden.
No, I don't think he will. In fact, Stephen Presley, who's helping him out at Scotland, has said as much today. He thinks Strachan will go.
But you've got to again and give these guys, the Tartan Army and the guys that go to every game all over the world and pay so much money, I think they deserve a little bit more. You know, don't come along and support us, but for rubbish boos. No, I would like more positivity from the staff in Scotland, saying, listen, this is our cup final, come along, get behind them, show them what the Tartan Army is, have a bit of passion, Jerry. And I don't hear,
you know,
that.
Mark McGee is putting out there, you know, he's the Scotland assistant manager, Mark, and he is putting out the possibility that Scotland may be rubbish on Sunday night.
Yeah, perhaps, I know what you're saying, but like Gordon said, at the start he says, if you've come, if we're rubbish, you've the right to booze. He's still trying to get a crowd there. So maybe that's his way of just, like Stevie says, goading some people there. And like I said at the start of the show, Scotland need the biggest crowd they can get, because if they're playing at Hampden with 20,000 people there and the atmosphere's down, the atmosphere on the pitch is going to be down as well, and they're going to struggle. If they're playing in front of a big crowd, cheering them on, it's a different game, and maybe that's what Mark McGee's trying to get at. I'm the same as you guys. I don't like hearing that, but maybe that's what Mark McGee's thought and trying to get people through the door.
Stevie and Chris, are you both absolutely convinced? Because of course international managers cannot go out and buy players, right? Are you absolutely convinced that replacing Gordon Strachan at the helm of the Scottish national team can turn around Scotland's fortunes with the same options of players available to a new manager?
Absolutely. See, I actually agree with your caller, but I just think that if you look at something he's picked, surely there's got to be players in the under-21s, or as the other caller mentioned, guys that are playing week in, week out, down the Premier League and just can't get picked by Gordon Strachan. It's the same. I mean, I watched England last night as well, during bits as well, and he did pick Andy Carroll, who's been in fantastic form. You know, so it's the same for Scotland. I mean, Jason Cummings, okay, he's only a young kid, but surely he could be a better option. Because Stephen Fletcher's done. Stephen Fletcher's tooled now. You know, and he's in the squad.
Right, let's hear from Mark McGee and Gordon Strachan again, because I'm a little bit confused by this, about what the point of last night's game was. Let's hear from Mark McGee, first of all, who spoke today about last night's game and the relevance of it with Sunday's more important match coming up.
I don't think that there was much last night that was terribly positive, but I also, therefore, don't think that any of that matters on Sunday night. You know, what happened last night is totally irrelevant to Sunday night. you know, there are other players coming into the squad, the team will be different. I say again, our emphasis on Sunday night will be different. So regardless of the disappointing aspects of certain aspects of the game last night, it won't affect, nothing will happen on Sunday night because of what happened last night.
There you go. Nothing will happen on Sunday night because of what happened last night. Well, perhaps someone should tell Gordon Strachan, as he was very upbeat about last night's exercise, in particular what it meant for Sunday's game.
Well, it's I think it's one of our better decisions to have a game. It's cleared up a lot of things. It's helped a lot of players, but it's helped the coaching staff in particular to where we're going on Sunday. We learned quite a few things tonight. So it wasn't a great night. I'll not be memorable in anybody's mind at the end of my career, but it's invaluable for me just now to use that information we collected tonight for Sunday, that's for sure.
But Mark McGee says nothing will happen on Sunday because of what happened last night. Am I getting this completely wrong?
Well, funny enough, I think they're saying the same thing. I think I've worked under Gordon and I can see what he's saying there. Like I said at the start of the show, I think he's happy he's took the game, and he's learned a lot about players that he can't trust them on the big stage. Now, if he was thinking about playing one or two of them, it was in that side last night, and maybe Swinnerd, because like I say, I think Anya will still be in there at right back. I think he'll still persist with him because...
Who else have we got?
Yeah.
You've got three terrific left backs.
Left backs.
Would you do the what happened years ago? Remember we had McGrain and Jardine.
McGrain switched.
I totally get this,
but Mark McGee says nothing will happen on Sunday because of what happened last night.
Well, what do you mean by that? Nothing will happen
on Sunday. And what he's saying is, take last night completely out of any relevance to Sunday.
Well, that's what I mean. I think Gordon and the coaching staff have realised that that team last night is no good enough. So whatever they had, maybe they had a team for Sunday, which they would have had. They've got a team for Sunday, and maybe they're thinking one of these two boys can break into that team.
And we've got a few question marks.
They watched it last night, and Mark McGee's saying nothing that happened last night is going to change. We'll go with what we had in plan anyway. You know, you understand what I mean? Maybe a few of them, they were hoping to have an outstanding game so they could put in Sunday. But by the sound of Gordon Strachan and Mark McGee, they're thinking nothing really that we seen last night is in our mind for Sunday. So nothing changes the way you look at it.
Right,
but they were hoping. That's why they took the game against Canada. They're playing a team 117th in the world. They're putting in new guys. They're hoping that there's a wee spark that gets the fans excited and they can play them on Sunday. Well, it's not happened. It's went the other way. It's went south. And they're thinking, we need to stick with what we've got now.
0141 951 1025, taking your calls on the Scotland situation. We'll look at the league table when we come back and look at just realistically where Scotland might be, even if we manage to get a win against Slovenia on Sunday. We'll also be right up to date with the travel news from Amber when we come back. It's Thursday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard, the home of football in Glasgow and the West. Be part of the debate. Call now 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scottish Cup. Please gamble responsibly.
It's 26 minutes past 6 on Thursday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Now, you may have heard either myself talking about this week or Bowie and Cassie on Bowie at Breakfast talking about this. Yes, I'm talking about AMVPM. These are the series of gym challenges at NL Leisure that myself and Gordon DL went up against, George and Cassie, at different days. So we didn't know how the other team did. And it's being revealed this week, one challenge each day. On Monday, Gordon... you and I beat George and Cassie at cycling.
Yeah.
It was no contest.
It was in the bank.
No contest. Yeah. On Tuesday, you and I beat George and Cassie at the old Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah. Yeah. No contest in the bag.
Yeah. In fact, I beat all of you. On Wednesday.
No IN team. And all that. Yeah.
Who won all the cycling? Here we go.
There's no IN team, but there is. You beat me by 1 metre in the cycling.
Hold on a minute. Anyway, is that a gold or a silver for you?
We're the same team.
Right. Okay,
let's stop this. Yesterday, it was chin ups. Now, we're going to reveal.
Pull ups.
Pull ups. No, it turned into chin ups for George. We're going to reveal tonight's result in a few minutes, right? Uh-huh. But last night it was pull ups.
Yeah.
What we didn't reveal yesterday, and I don't know if George actually mentioned this on the breakfast show, is that George actually was accredited with doing how many pull-ups?
60.
Now we had a look at this because we thought that's pretty good. 60 in a minute, that's roughly one a second, right? That's pretty good. That's good.
Yeah. That's more than pretty
so
good.
We had a look, and believe it or not, we can announce,
yes,
this is unaudited, so to speak, George Bowie has broken a world record because the actual world record for pull-ups in a minute is held by a Russian chap at 59.
And he is absolutely gutted. He'll never listen to Bowie in the morning again for Russia because his record has been broken. I heard this yesterday and I sent Bowie a lovely congratulations email on the World Guinness Book of Records.
Yeah.
He's a top man. 60 pull-ups and 60 seconds.
Now, I did some even bigger research into this because I went on to, I did a bit more digging and there is a video of the guy, the Russian guy, doing the pull-ups. Mm. And I compared it to the pull-ups that George Bowie was doing in his video.
Were they similar?
Well, they're both standing, put it that way. They're both upright and they're both holding onto a bar. There the similarity ends. So see if we don't win this week, I'll be calling in the stewards for an inquiry.
Oh, I'm not accepting it, Jerry. I've already said to Brian.
Are we trying to say George Bowie broke a world record? Anyway, let's leave it there just now. We'll be announcing the answer. The answers.
Anyway, what did you just get in the pull-ups?
Let's forget about that. Well, I had a sore elbow.
I'm getting tennis elbow.
let's just say that him and Cassie were very close.
Oh, really?
I did have tennis elbow. Here's Fraser in Edinburgh. Hi, Fraser.
Hi there, guys. How you doing?
All right, Fraser. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Now, I'm a season ticket holder at Easter Road, and I did not feel in any way inclined to go to the Scotland game last night. I live a mile from the stadium. I think the problems at Scotland are much, much bigger than last night.
Mm.
But I think it's evident from the interviews there that Strachan and McGee are on a completely different wavelength. And I think that showed in the team last night. The team selection last night was supposed to give the chance, a run out to players who don't normally get the chance, but what have we learnt by playing Darren Ferguson and centre midfield for Scotland? Absolutely nothing. The problems have been...
Darren Fletcher?
Darren Fletcher.
Yeah.
But, do you know what I mean? We're supposed to be giving youngsters a chance in games against Canada. You know, the SFA's got a lot to learn charging that price against a team that's 117th in the world or whatever it is on a wet Wednesday night in Edinburgh to try and get fans along to go and watch the team. This is the second manager we've had that chooses to play zero or one strikers against much lesser teams in friendlies. We've got to give ourselves a chance to change, and I just don't think that Strachan's the man to do that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, listen, I agree with you, Fraser, about the ticket pricing. It's an absolute joke, expecting people to pay that and expecting a half-decent crowd along in an evening like that. I mean, they surely could run some sort of incentive that, you know, kids go free or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're saying about Darren Fletcher and such playing, if you're going to give young kids a chance, that's fine. But maybe he wants one or two experienced ones in there to make it like a full international. So the crowd that you get coming along can see international class players playing. But last night, it just didn't work. Any of that didn't work. There wasn't cheap or free places for kids. Tickets weren't cheap. And the team he puts out didn't do it on the pitch. So, you know, I'm a Scotland fan myself. I agree with all the frustrations.
Oh.
What are you saying? Oh. I'm not like you. You're an England fan, are you not? all you guys' frustrations and calling in, I totally agree with them. But the one positive thing was it is a friendly, a midweek friendly. The big ask is on Sunday. And if it doesn't go right on Sunday, is there anywhere else? Where else for Gordon to go? I doubt it.
Do you know what we're not mentioning? I know we're concentrating on us, but fair play to Canada. Because I think everybody thought
we're not here to say fair play to Canada.
No, he's a Canadian. Canada fan now.
Everybody, Canada, I'm
a Canadian.
Everybody thought that we were going to win
Canada,
and it was going to be 4-5-0. They actually impressed me. They didn't even have their top team out.
Do you agree with that,
Fraser? Definitely. I'm Fraser Ayres. I mean, I'm hip. Fraser Ayres going to be back at Easter Road on Saturday, potentially.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't want to see that again, if I'm honest.
Mm.
But, you know, saying about, you know, it was just a friendly, but it just being a friendly was a chance to get the fans who were a little bit, you know, disheartened with the qualifying programme so far, to get them back behind the team with a good win. Really get the fans, and you know, excited about Sunday. And I think it's had the opposite effect, and we'll probably see you know, a smaller crowd at Hampden than we've seen for a long time.
That's my very point. And I'm glad Fraser picked it up there. He was the only one. We wanted to get into Sunday's game with a positive, Jerry. Maybe a 3 or a 4-0 victory or a good performance. So we really handpicked Canada and thought, oh, this could be an easy picking. Well, that's my point. Well done to Canada.
Why? See your point, Mark, and I can totally see the way you've interpreted what Gordon Strachan and Mark McGee were saying, and to being the same thing. Mark McGee, you think we're saying that before last night's game, that because of what happened last night, Sunday's selection becomes irrelevant, right? Yeah. But if that's the case, and they already had a plan for Sunday, which they say they do, then all right, all this stuff about resting players and all the rest of it, you know, better giving that team an actual run out against another side that wants to beat you, but as preparation for Sunday.
You've got this. Well, the big point was the Celtic boys, was it not? Them playing on the Sunday and then playing another game so soon, and they're probably certain starters. So to risk them, probably not.
I'm the same as Gordon, do you think they're certain starters?
Well, Armstrong, I think Armstrong will be.
Yeah.
Tierney, Brown will be. I don't know. It's a toss of a coin.
Robertson, when
Forrest,
he
maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, Mark said earlier that he thought that what Mark McGee was trying to say is that nothing's going to change for Sunday. That's going to be our team lineup. I absolutely hope not. William Miller said last night, is Chris Martin even alive? Is he even awake? Because he was absolutely pathetic. I don't think there was a player there last night that showed they wanted to play for Scotland at all. And, you know, give anybody in that crowd the chance to pull a Scotland jersey on, and they put what looked like a lot more effort in than those guys there. They just didn't look up for it. And I think, given what we've heard from Strachan and McGee in their interviews, that runs right through the team.
It's going to be, I mean, the team on Sunday surely is going to be Craig Gordon in goal. It's going to be Ekechi Anya. It's going to be either Mulgrew and
Berra
or Mulgrew and Martin.
Yeah.
You're probably going to have Andy Robertson at left back. Strachan likes him.
Yeah.
Probably. He's his number one. You know, in the middle of the park, you're going to have Brown. You're going to have Snodgrass. Mm-hmm. You're going to have probably James Forrest in there
Armstrong as well.
You're going to have Armstrong as well. And I'm thinking,
I would go Griffiths.
Yeah, but we're missing another one. If you're having five across the midfield as well.
Let's play with 10, see if we get better.
You'd have Griffiths up front. I've got a sneaky feeling he'll go with Fletcher.
You think so?
Stephen Fletcher.
Yeah, so
or throw this one in, Jordan Rhodes.
No chance.
On the head there saying he likes Andy Robertson. That's the point. He's stubborn. You know, he said that he's come out in the press previously saying that he doesn't think Griffiths is big enough to play international football, which is pretty rich coming from Gordon Strachan. Mm.
What about Griffiths playing just off roads? They're going to go for it.
People are going to say, I'm a Hibs fan, I'm going to have a soft spot for Griffiths, and I do. But I think as natural goal scorers go, we don't have any better than Scotland. He didn't get much of a chance last night, came on a difficult situation in a game like that. He's not been playing regularly for Celtic. But I think if Celtic had a couple of injuries, he would just walk back into that team and start scoring goals again. And I don't think we have another striker like that at the moment. So I think he should play alongside a bigger striker. And we should always be going with two up front, especially in the situation we find ourselves behind in the group.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think he'll change his shape. But with Griffiths, I think Martin and Fletcher have been given a fair crack at the whip in these past couple of qualifications. And Griffiths has always just been on the edge of things, coming on maybe for 10 minutes, playing against England here. He's never been given a good go at it, and I think he might deserve. Now, different if they guys are banging in goals and you have to say, Lee Griffiths, you need to sit on the bench and wait your turn, but they're not. So why not give him a shot? Or like you say, Jerry, why not give Rhodes a shot then? Why not put him in? I don't think he will put Rhodes in, but why not try one of these other two guys? Because you're just hoping these guys come good.
Why have you picked out Jordan Rhodes, who couldn't get near the squads, and then he gets near the squad this time, and all of a sudden, and Gordon Strachan's biggest game as a manager, which would probably cost him his job if he.
Well, why have him there? You said yourself he's not been near squads recently, so, but now he's in the squad.
And then you just throw him.
He's the only Scotland striker who started at the weekend for his club. If they're talking about players who are playing regularly for their clubs in positions,
Well, you've just decided but now that you're going to gamble on him in your biggest game. I think Gordon Strachan, and I think we all know his nature and his character, and Marcus has touched on, he's played under him, he knows him better than anyone. He'll stick to his guns. It'll be a Fletcher or a Chris Martin. And I think Andy Robertson will play at left back all day long.
Wait, do we actually have a problem with Andy Robertson
no,
playing left back
no,
here?
No, I don't think that's a problem.
My point was that Strachan's stubbornness is the problem, is it? There's players that can be playing better week in, week out for their club, and they just can't seem to get near the starting lineup. Yet there's players that play, average, sometimes sit on the bench for teams in the English Championship, yet come to a Scotland game, they're first on the team sheet. And I think we've got to start going with players that are informed. Because really, that's where the confidence is going to come from, isn't it?
But see, when you look at this, see that argument, Fraser, and it's a widely argued point that there are players who are playing more regularly who don't get a look in. You know, I can think of Charlie Adam, absolutely, Charlie Adam, and I can think of Phil Bardsley. If we're looking for a right back, there's a right back who's currently playing in the top league in England, right? But is it wrong that, let's just say, Gordon Strachan doesn't get on with these guys? Let's just say, for whatever reason, they just clash. I'm not saying that is the case, but let's say they do just clash. Maybe it wouldn't be right, because maybe the relationship just isn't there to play these players. Isn't that okay?
You're not there as a Scotland manager to be friends with people.
Yeah, but you need
Jerry.
Players to fight for you.
Yeah, well, if you bring a player, I don't care who you are, I never had the privilege to play with Scotland. Why the managers never picked me is beyond me. Mark Walsh
is a Canada fan.
Yeah, exactly. But
hated
even
Scotland.
Put it in the worst scenario. If the manager knew, you and the manager didn't get on, and you were handed that Scotland strip, and you went over that white line, you wouldn't care whether you liked the manager or not. You would be proud enough to play for your country. And there's a lot of guys out there, and myself and Mark, I think he sat on the bench because we had a lot of injuries once. Very proud to go and play for your country.
Surely with the problem with the right back then at the moment, okay, let's say he has a problem with Phil Bardsley and the likes of them then. Okay, we haven't got a natural right back. Why don't we play three centre halves with a winger? Play players that are strong in that position. You know, we can bring a man into the centre of midfield to shore up the back three there. After I'm going to track back a little bit more. But these are players that are playing comfortable in that position. It's only going to benefit the team instead of shoehorning players into a position they just don't really want to be in.
Fraser, I must agree with you. Last night, when I seen the squad coming out, and there was a big thing about there's no natural right back in the squad, I thought the game last night, Gordon may have just went that way. May have just went three centre halves and maybe put Anya wider, and you know, the two maybe sitting in midfield and went that way. So I was surprised when I seen just the same shape. So if he was going to change the shape, it would have been last night. So that, I think come Sunday, it'll be the same shape that he's stuck with through the other qualifications.
I honestly think the only thing that can save Strachan on Sunday, irrelevant to the result, is the team showing a little bit of ambition. And like I said at the start of the call, you cannot go one up top against Canada at home in Scotland. Who's going to pay £5 to see that? Never mind £22.
All right, Fraser, we'll keep this debate going throughout the night. No doubt it's 20 minutes to 7 on Thursday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And just looking at the way the table is and the way the fixtures are for Sunday, we'll go into it in more detail after Amber's travel. But it looks like the best that Scotland can hope for, sitting fifth at the moment, is to come out of Sunday sitting fourth. We'll go into that in more detail after Amber's travel. Let's reveal what happened in today's AMVPM challenge. Today it was circuits, right? So there was kettlebells, there was ropes, there was lunges, and you had to do it against the clock. This is AMVPM, thanks to NL Leisure for this. If you go on to clyde1.com/AMVPM, you can see the videos that back up what we say, and you can be in with a chance of winning some NL Leisure membership and some fitness gear. Over to Hugh Keevans to reveal the winners of the circuit challenge. Remember, it's 2-1 to Gordon and I going into this one.
This is AM versus PM with NL Leisure. I'm Hugh Keevans with the result of challenge 4. This is a fat burn circuit. 10 kettlebell swings, followed by 10 battle rope waves, and finally 10 TRX squats. Whichever side completes 4 circuits in the quickest time wins. Jerry and Gordon DL from Team PM have 2 wins under their belt, which means George and Cassie have just 1. Team AM really need a victory here to stay in the competition. Team AM's Fatburn circuit time was 1 minute 59 seconds. Team PM's time was 2 minutes, 8 seconds, which means it's a win for Team AM. Team AM 2, Team PM 2, one challenge remaining. Join us tomorrow for the final NL Leisure Challenge, where the winning team will be crowned.
Steward, come in. Come in, Steward. Yeah, Inquiry.
Jerry, you can hold your head up high because I've spoken to every fitness coach in Scotland. Our technique was totally
correct. We're actually just checking out the AM video to see whether they have actually broken a circuit world record.
Stay with us.
Yeah, the travel's next.
Scottish football has a voice. Add yours to the debate on Super Scoreboard. Call now 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of Hampden Park. Please gamble responsibly.
It's just approaching 10 to 7 on Thursday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Before we go any further, let me just tell you, we've just won an award. Literally.
You and I.
In the last, well, kind of. In the last.
Leave him out.
And others, but not Mark.
No, Mark.
In the last 20 minutes or so, we have just picked up an award for best sports coverage of 2016. This is down in London. Alison and Gordon, along with other members of the team here at Super Scoreboard and Clyde One, are down in London at the IRN, the Independent Radio News Awards, and we put in an entry for the best sports coverage of 2016. It was to do with the Scottish Cup final. The entry was called Heroes and Hooligans, and the judges gave us the award. So well done to everyone on Super Scoreboard for that recognition. What a team we have here. Oops. Someone fall off their chair.
That was me.
He's excited. First award he's won.
It's the first award. It's the first thing I've ever won in my life.
Well done, of course. Of course, you were there at that game, and you brought us the scenes as they happened when fans rushed on the pitch. Mark, thanks for your contribution to
that
the
was
year
house,
as well.
I was actually drinking beer, just watching in the house. So, I had a great day. You were brilliant. Well done, guys.
Yeah. Oh goodness, yes, well done to everyone here. Here's George in Renfrew. Hi, George.
Hello, panel. First time caller. How are you doing?
Welcome along, George. You want to talk about Morton?
I do. I was just wondering what the panel thought of our chances of under Jim Duffy of actually winning the league. Forget about the playoffs, actually winning.
Yeah, let's forget about the playoffs. I know Jim Duffy won't like us for doing this. Give us your thoughts first, George, before we open it up to the guys.
I think we can do it. I really do, Jerry. I think the Ton are on a roll right now. I've got a season ticket, and I really think we can do it.
Do you know what? It's incredible that the stat that I read today, that a year
since we've lost at Capello, that's right.
I know, it's the kiss of death, isn't it?
Jim will be going crazy just now. He'll turn off his radio. But
it's great when it's flying under the radar, but as soon as someone mentions it, this is the case.
If Morton avoid defeat at Capello against Dunfermline on Saturday, then it will be a calendar year undefeated at home. That is incredible form, George.
It's unbelievable. And can I also say congratulations on your award? I don't know if you know, but I won an award myself recently. I've got the world record for pull-ups.
Are you Russian?
61.
I am number 60, and I just actually wanted to ask Mark Wilson while you're there. Mark, how does it feel to be sitting with these two guys? Are you embarrassed at their performance?
Well, I did say that to them in the break.
Those legal chin-ups that we did.
We've got George Bowie live here, world record, you know, they're under threat.
Exactly. Tomorrow, I'll be tuning in tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening to see who won this.
I'll be honest with you, Mark, I think Gordon Strachan and Mark McGee are having a better week than these two.
Listen, Bowie, were you aware?
Who's just realised that? I can't even. I'm thinking, this sounds like Billy.
Has this guy broke the world record?
I genuinely thought that. I thought he was Joan.
Listen, George, we need to get Guinness in to verify this.
We really do.
Because as I said, I watched the video and they look pretty genuine to me.
Absolutely, totally genuine, Jerry.
Yeah.
They're all the same boys. Right, well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. See you later, guys.
See you later. It's all in the river tomorrow. It's all in their own.
I honestly thought that was someone just having a laugh.
Can I be honest?
What?
Took me a while as well.
Well done about
that. Just showed you. We're not taking it serious, Jerry.
What's tomorrow?
Rowing.
And let me tell you now, he was the captain of Oxford and I was in the Cambridge boat in our day. So if we lose this one tomorrow,
the
I
cocks,
will
is that what
it.
You call it?
What?
The cocks.
Let's not get into that. Right, here's, come on, we've descended into anarchy here. Here's Stuart and Cambus Lang to bring us right down to earth with some Scotland chat. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, guys. Congratulations on your award.
Oh,
well done.
Thanks, Stuart.
It's just regarding who will play up front on Sunday. Personally, I think Martin and Fletcher have had their chances, you know. And you were talking there, mate, about Lee Griffiths because he's not going to start with Celtic. When he was going to start with Celtic and scoring for fun and probably playing the best football of his career, Gordon Strachan still didn't pick him. You know, and what more can the guy do? I just think Gordon Strachan is setting his ways, and I think that his favourite player's there and he's not going to get by him, he's going to pick him. And I think if he does it, of course, of his job, personally. I think Lee Griffiths, for me, I don't know if you guys, I want you to come off the fence and see who you would play up front. But for me, I think it's a no-brainer. I think Griffiths has got to start the game.
Well, Stuart, I said earlier on the show, I think Griffiths should start. I think the other two that's been in the squad for the full qualification has had a fair crack at it, and they've not really done it. And I think Griffiths, although we got hammered by England, I didn't think Griffiths did badly against England. I thought he did okay.
He didn't get many chances,
but he looked lively enough. I just think, you know, get a guy a chance. Give the guy a chance. He's a goal scorer. Yeah. He's got pace. Yeah. And I think on Sunday, that's what we're going to need to play with. We're going to need to be quick, clever round the box. I don't think we can go route one against these guys. I think their defence will lap that up. But if you've got clever players, which Scotland have got, and a wee bit of pace and a guy who can finish from, let's be honest, not just
anywhere,
inside the
anywhere.
Box, but outside the
anywhere.
Box, I would give him a chance. Yep.
Stuart, I back up what Mark says, but just watching last night, looking at everything and what's went on in the past before, and I think you're right, you touched on a good point. When he was at the top of his form, banging in goals, every time the ball came to him, you were just expecting it to end up in the back of the net. Gordon Strachan still didn't really believe that he was at that standard. I do not think for one minute that he'll start Griffiths up front. So.
Well, listen, let's have a look at the table then and just briefly outline the best case scenario for Scotland. Scotland currently sitting in fifth place on 4 points. England play Lithuania on Sunday in slightly earlier kickoff. We would expect England to beat Lithuania at home, which would keep England in first place and keep Lithuania on 5 points. We would expect Slovakia to beat Malta, who haven't picked up a point. So we would expect Slovakia to move up to 9 points. So even if Scotland beats Slovenia, we would still be behind Slovenia because they're 4 points ahead of us. Slovakia would have overtaken Slovenia and England would still be first. So England 1, Slovakia 2, Slovenia 3 and Scotland 4. That's the best case scenario. So be prepared, even if it's a good victory on Sunday, to see Scotland sitting fourth in the table. Right, plenty more of your calls tonight. 01419511025.
Beat the pundit with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Right, if you want to go along and cheer Scotland on Sunday night, or if they're rubbish, boo them. Sorry, I can say that. Mark McGee said it. Then give us a call now. Tickets are still available, but courtesy of the Scottish FA, we have got two to give away. But you've got to get on Beat the Pundit tonight. So call us now, 0141 951 1025. We'll be on after your 7 o'clock news. It's Thursday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's time to get off the fence and tell it like it is. Call now on 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scottish Cup. Please gamble responsibly.
It's 3 minutes past seven on Super Scoreboard, Thursday's Super Scoreboard. I can tell you the winners at the IRN Radio Awards in London for Clyde One just keep coming. Linda Sinclair has just won Reporter of the Year.
Well done, Linda.
Well done, Linda.
Brilliant.
Big night they're going to have in London tonight. Wish we were there. Anyway, we're not. We're playing Beat the Pundit instead. Well, one of you guys is.
Beat the Pundit with Inside Sport in the Scottish Sun. The best news features and columnists every Sunday.
Right, let's welcome the punter tonight. It's Graham Irvin, who is in Wishaw. He's a Motherwell fan. Hi, Graham.
Hi, how we doing, Jerry?
Welcome to the show, welcome to Beat the Pundit, and congratulations, two tickets coming your way for Sunday night's game.
Is that congratulations or commiseration?
Oh, don't you start, Graham, come on.
No, I've got a 8-year-old boy who's desperate to go east for Scotland game.
Oh, brilliant.
Over the moon.
Fantastic. No booing. Don't you listen to Mark McGee, right? You get your boy off in a good way with Scotland, because who knows, by the time he's your age, and I don't know what age you are, Graham, we may actually have been to a couple of major championships.
The problem is he's a Motherwell fan and he was getting used to booing Mark McGee. He's quite happy with Stephen Robinson. He's got his McGee out. Poster still from Motherwell, so I'm not sure he's going to
do it. Daddy, see that man down there? That looks a bit like Mark McGee. It is, son. I'll tell you about it later. Right, Graham, well done. You've got the tickets regardless of what happens here on Beat the Pundit. But just for the fun and the kudos and the ball, let's play. So heads tonight will be played by Mark Wilson and tails will be played by Gordon DL. I shall toss the coin. It falls on heads. Sorry, Mark Wilson, but that's who you've got. Graham, are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Let's do it then. 30 seconds on the clock. Sporting general knowledge questions. I've got to take your first answer. Say pass quickly if you don't know it. Your time, Graham Irvin from Wishaw, begins now. Who opened the scoring for Canada last night?
It's Fraser Ayer.
Which Rangers player shares the same name as a Dundonian band?
Pass.
Which St Johnson player has signed a new 2-year deal?
Pass.
Which Scottish Premiership side was unable to fulfil the fixtures during the 1999-2000 season?
Gretna.
Which football governing body was founded on the 15th of June 1954 in Basel?
FIFA.
On Annan's crest, what item is being held by a hand in the centre of the badge?
A sword.
A sword, you say? Okay, don't, Graham, stay right there. Let's get Mark. You all set for this
one? Yes, I can't wait.
Here we go, 30s. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who opened the scoring for Canada last night?
Aird.
Which Rangers player shares the same name as a Dundonian band?
Pass.
Which St Johnson player has signed a new 2-year deal?
Clark.
Which Scottish Premiership side was unable to fulfil the fixtures during the 1999-2000 season?
St Johnson.
Which football governing body was founded on the 15th of June 1954 in Basel?
FIFA.
On Annan's crest, what item is being held by a hand in the centre of the badge?
Stick.
A stick, you say. Right. Okay, okay. Graham, how are you feeling?
I don't know. I think we're both as bad as each other.
Aye. Cheers, Graham.
It's 1-1. You get the first one right. Fraser Ayert. Move on.
Well, you both did get the first one right.
Yes.
You both said... Well, actually, Graham, you said Fraser Ayert. Mark Wilson said aired. What should I do?
No, 1-1. Nonsense. Nonsense. 1-1. Yeah?
Okay, fair enough. Which Rangers player shares the same name as a Dundonian band?
I'm going to have a guess.
Go on.
Wallace?
No.
Don't know.
Everything is wonderful.
Being there with you.
Danny Wilson.
Oh!
Which St Johnson player has signed a new 2-year deal? Let's come back to that one. Which Scottish Premiership side was unable to fulfil the fixtures during the 1999-2000 season? The answer actually is...
Can I have a guess?
Go on.
Gretna.
No, that's what Graham said. No, that's... Was that what you said, Mark?
I said St John's. No, I said Hamilton.
Oh, it was Graham that said Gretna. The answer's... No, you didn't say Hamilton.
I did.
No, you did not.
No, you didn't.
You heard me say Hamilton there. That's what you just heard. Yeah. The players went on strike. They were docked 15 points, which resulted in their relegation to the third division. Which football governing body was founded on the 15th of June 1954 in Basel?
UEFA.
It's UEFA, guys. Yeah. Neither of you got that. Although you were... You knew it, didn't you, Graham?
Yeah, I knew. As soon as I said FIFA, I knew it was you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, first answers only. On Annan's crest, what item is being held by a hand in the centre of the badge? Mark Wilson, you said a stick. A stick.
Well, it's a stupid question. Who would know that?
Well, it's not a stupid question, but why? There's a man in a stick. Let's put that on a badge.
Yeah. Well, let's see what the answer is.
Well, Graham,
Graham
went with a more realistic answer of a sword, right? Is much more of a heraldic
thing. You can't afford a sword. You used a stick.
That's right. And if you had a dog, you'd be better with a stick.
The answer is a torch. Right. Right. Which St Johnson player has signed a new 2-year deal? Graham, you didn't know this one, did you?
I take nothing to do with St Johnstone after Saturday.
Right, you didn't know this one, Mark Wilson. You went
Sander Clark.
You went with your things. You went with your usual thing is just giving me surnames.
Yeah.
You said yes. Clark.
Xander Clark.
But
yeah.
You said there, you were aware that it was Xander Clark, so reluctantly I'll give it to you.
What do you mean reluctantly?
2-1.
Well,
in future, see if I ask for a player's name, just give
both
names.
You want the full
names.
Name?
Aye, give two names.
Middle names, yeah. And
well, no. First name and surname would be fine. But anyway, you won 2-1, right?
Yes.
So stop your moaning. Hard lines, Graham.
I can't believe I could beat me, Mark Wilson.
I'm lucky, Graham.
Listen, how do you think Albion Rovers thought or Stenhouse Muir thought the weekend? Graham, hard lines, but you've got the tickets for Sunday night, okay?
Perfect. Thank you very much, Jerry.
All the best to you, Graham. Stay on the line. We'll get all your details. That was Graham Irvine in Wishaw, who is a Motherwell fan. Right, let's talk to a proper Morton fan, but Bowie is a proper Morton fan. But this isn't a kid on. This is Ross in Greenock. How are you feeling, Ross?
Not bad. Hi, guys.
Hi, Ross. Are you as optimistic as we are talking about Morton as potential championship winners?
Well, 2012-2013 season. They played Bath official up at Firth Hill and they get beat. Bortmer can't be in for about 5 months. Also had Partick had game in hand and they get beat on the Wednesday night and they crumbled from then. So if they win on Saturday and get a point at Easter Road next Wednesday, I would say they've got a good chance, but I really don't know. They need if they went up, they need investment. That's the biggest thing. They need investment. I want to say like Partick Thistle are any bigger than Morton, Hamilton, Inverness Cali, Ross County. They're probably average home games for like 2,500.
Mm-hmm.
So if Morton were to go up, obviously they'd sell out against Celtic, Rangers, maybe Aberdeen. But like I said, with the crowd still turn up at like Inverness and Ross County and Partick Thistle's, that's my sort of point. I mean, they probably hold their aim maybe in the bottom six, but I don't have to be any top six, but they need investment first and foremost.
Right, listen, let's get Morton up first of all before we start talking about top six. But isn't that what it's all about, Ross? Because if Morton do go up, then it does become about survival, doesn't it? Does that not appeal to you?
I'm 31 years of age and I've never seen Morton in a top tier of Scottish football. Never. And I've seen all the DVDs back there with Morton and Jimmy Cowan, Andy Ritchie, Roland Alexander, Derek Collins, so on and so on. And I've seen all the pictures and the videos of him. I would love to make up, but with the fans would love it. But they need investment to get here, but they kind of keep on going down the loan market every single season. They've done that for the last 6-7 seasons, going down. But all these players, they all get back to their playing clubs. So next year, Morton's still got to rebuild another team for next season.
Mm.
They kind of keep, as Gordon Yale says, no spine of their team. So, you need people maybe on a 2-year contract. Like, Boy Lindy, the Celtic, what a player. Andy Murdoch, what a player. Really good players. And Jim Duffy, when they first appointed him, I wasn't his biggest fan, but I've got to give him credit for credit to you. He's done brilliant for what he's working with. Absolutely amazing.
And a season blighted by injuries as well, Ross.
Definitely.
The thing is, Ross, if they do get up, and I'm sure Jim, if he's listening, is hating this conversation because his aim will be to get in the playoffs and you know, you don't want to jinx anything. But if they do get up, and like you're saying, they've survived in loan signings for a couple of years now, moving through divisions. As soon as you get to the Premiership, then that really goes out the window. You get one or two, but all of a sudden Morton becomes a bigger draw for... you know, younger players who are maybe getting released by the clubs at the top end of the table. Guys from England you can bring up because they're playing in the top league in Scotland. So it's, you know, it's easier to attract players. And like you say, then tie them up in a couple of years' contract. And then if you're going to go down the loan market, you're just loaning one or two rather than, mm-hmm. than getting a lot of players in. It's a lot easier, that's what I'm saying, once you're in that top league, to attract a better quality of player.
Well, let me ask you a question, Ross, because we were looking at the championship table earlier on and looking at the results that could go in Morton's way. You're sitting there level on points with Falkirk. Yeah, and so in a strange way, would you actually want Falkirk to beat Hibs on Saturday?
You've still got to win them games, Jerry. You've still got to win the games, that's first and foremost. I would be happy to be a draw.
A draw between Falkirk and Hibs?
Yeah, we've still got to play Hibs twice. Next Wednesday, I think.
Yeah.
second last game of the season, the player.
But think about it, if Falkirk beat Hibs, all right, then it means that if Morton can beat Dunfermline, the gap between yourselves and Hibs at the top goes down to 4 points. You've got a game in hand against Hibs and still to play them twice.
You've still got to win them games. It's mm-hmm. not just, you've still got to win the games. People used to say you've got 3 games in hand, or you have the points on the board. I'd have the points on the board first and foremost. I've been there a couple of seasons ago, and we've attacked the league for 5 months, I say, and they crumbled. They played up at Firth Hill against Firth Missile, and they beat 1-0, and ever since that they crumbled, and trying to recover it again was hard. And but you need investment to get to where Morton wants to be. Now, I don't know about the chairman thinks, but Mr. Bougeray has done brilliant in the last 13, 14 seasons, but a lot of hard cash into Morton, and they'll never see that money again. That's just lost money.
And of course, Warren Hawk now is there running the show.
Yeah.
On a day-to-day basis. Yeah. So you've got someone there that obviously a legend at the club.
Oh, a legend, I think. Definitely a legend.
You know, and see, as far as Morton's concerned, Ross, with the fans, this is is it too much to say it's a sleeping giant? I mean, Morton can take a great away support. There's a large number of people in that area that if Morton get up into the top division, will start going back again. You'll see some big crowds at Capello.
Jerry, I've said on this programme for years, and people ask you, what's the best away ground that you used to love going to? And I always said, was Greenock, Morton. I love going down there. I love playing against Morton. They've changed it because the pitch used to be, your back garden was better than the pitch down there. Now it's like a bowling green. Mm. The dressing
room. Oh, one of the best in the country.
Ah, it's terrific. And I was down there and I covered for Super Scoreboard this season, Morton against Raith Rovers. And Jim's doing a terrific job. And I know that Ross is looking further afield and thinking, right, what happens if we go up? I would just enjoy this season because they're going for records and the fact that they've not been beaten at home. They're sitting there, and you're right, if results go and they finish in a strong run, all of a sudden Hibs are really looking over their shoulder at Hibs. All the credit goes to Jim Duffy, the players, the management staff, everybody concerned down there. They're running the club properly now. Warren Hawk doing a terrific job as well. I would enjoy it just now.
Absolutely.
The start of the season, but the players I was looking at were signing. I was like, well, we might get relegated, but you've got to give Jim credit for what you've got there just now. And you're sitting joint third with 2 games in hand over Falkirk. As you say, maybe
joint second.
Joint second, so I say, and you beat them firm on the Saturday, right? And say a point goes.
Yeah.
Point is the road next Wednesday. They've got a real good chance. All right, last Saturday against Falkirk was a tough, tough game. They grinded it out, really grinded it out, but they won it. But I would love to. But if you, Gordon, you're saying about the fans on the back, but each fans, they pick and choose their games. You get Morton diehards that go game, rail or snow, every game, away games.
But it happens at every club, Ross. It happens at every single club. But I just got a funny feeling that the way things are progressing down there, they're building for a future, and I do think I'm not saying they're going to fill their ground if Inverness come calling, if they get into the Premier League, so I'm not getting carried away with that one. But I do believe that there's a lot of fans down there would come back and really give the support to the town.
They're lying dormant at the moment. They're waiting.
In my opinion, yes.
Ross, it sounds like, I always find it slightly ironic when Morton fans come on, because you always say something along the lines of, I was never Jim Duffy's biggest fan, but you've got to give him credit, as if somehow it's kind of like reluctant credit.
It's, well, Jerry, for what he's got, right, he's working hard and getting loan signings. Half of his players I've never heard before, and they've got him. And like, Eboy Andermark, how is he on the Rangers team? I don't know. Eboy Lindsay.
But this is my point. So why does it seem to be that whenever Morton fans praise Jim Duffy, it's kind of like reluctantly?
I don't know, Jerry. Here's a question for you, right? At bottom six in the Premier League, right? Would you say they're a bigger club than Morton?
No.
Fan base?
No.
Definitely not. So if Morton, say, hypothetical question, but if Morton are in the Premier League, I think they would compete, definitely, in the bottom six.
No, look at the bottom six. Kilmarnock, Dundee, Ross County, Motherwell, Inverness Cali, Hamilton Accies. As far as a fan base is concerned, Morton could live with them.
Yeah. Without a shadow of doubt, yeah. And if it, given the...
And even up, Partick Thistle, St Johnson, could live with them.
Yeah, yeah, given the right investment. If you look at, for instance, tried and tested Hamilton, I know they're struggling this season at the bottom of the league, but they went up and they've continued to do well, get young players through the system, sell them on, invest more into their youth system. I see Morton going down that road, and I think Jim Duffy's doing a terrific job.
Morton fans, let's hear from you. There's Ross in Greenock to kick off the Morton chat. He's looking for a win against Dunfermline. He'd take a point between Falkirk and Hibs, but already he's looking at that top spot and thinking, I wonder if Morton could end up there come the season's end. Now, how would you like to have an extra £2,000 in your bank account? Not by the end of the season, by tomorrow. Well, if you enter Clyde One's 2K day, that could happen to you. £2,000 richer by the weekend. Now, to be in with a chance of winning, you've got to send us a text with the word yes to 61025. We'll choose a winner completely at random after the lines close, and the lines will close at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Don't delay, do it just now. Pick up your phone, send us a text with the word yes to 61025. Now, only those who live in Glasgow in the West can be eligible. So you've got to have a postcode that begins GML, FK, PA or KA. Your text will cost you £1.50. T's and C's and online entry at Clyde1.com. I'll be setting the full time teaser when we come back on Thursday's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Football is all a matter of opinions. Call now to share yours on Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scotland national team. Please gamble responsibly.
It's 23 minutes past 7 on Thursday's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Ian is on the phone from Renton. Hi, Ian.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Ian. Would you mind waiting just another minute till I set the full-time teaser for the guys?
No, any problem.
Thanks a lot, Ian. I know you've been hanging on there for a while, so I just thought I'd touch base with you. Also, Martin, you've been pretty quiet the last 5 minutes. What have you been up to?
Hi, well, I didn't take part in Ross's conversation. I was Googling the Annan badge to see... what it was. A torch.
It's a torch.
Well, asked Andy if it was a torch with batteries or
right.
If it was a torch as in a stick. It's been set alight.
Alright, so because you said a stick, mm. You're thinking that in actual fact, because it is like a stick with a flame, yeah, that you actually were right.
Did
you actually think Annan would have a torch with batteries in it on their badge?
Well, when you say torch, when somebody says to you, go and get the torch, what do you? You don't go and set a stick alight, do you? You go and get the torch. But I was thinking,
seen the Olympic Games when they're passing it, but they don't pass it with batteries and all that.
Pass it now, exactly. Actually, they pass a stick.
I think they do
pass
sometimes.
A stick. Aye.
So when you said stick, I was picturing that.
Aye.
Right, okay.
So, did I get a point?
No. The full-time teaser tonight has been sent in by Richard Mackay. He is in Singapore.
Ooh,
yes,
nice,
we're taking Super Scoreboard Global, as he says. And he says, hoping this is the one. I've sent about 5 so far with no luck, so it caught my attention. And it is quite a good one because it's an international-themed one. We're talking about, you know, Scotland being 67 in the rankings and Canada being 117. Well, see the top 10 teams.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can name me, says Richard, the record cap holders for the top 10 ranked teams.
I can't name you the top 10 teams.
I'll give you the top 10 teams.
Germany, obviously.
Right, so write these down. So number one is Argentina.
Yeah.
Number two is Brazil.
Yeah.
Number three is Germany.
Yeah.
Number four is Chile.
Yeah.
Number five is Belgium. Yeah. Six is France.
Yeah.
Seven is Colombia. 8 is Portugal, 9 is Uruguay, and 10 is Spain. His full-time teaser is, can you name me the current record cap holder for each of these countries? That's what you've got for the next half hour or so. Good luck with that one. Right, Ian, what do you want to talk about?
All right, guys, I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome along, Ian. Thanks for hanging on.
I'm just phoning regarding Scotland, the Scotland game last night and stuff. To be honest, I didn't watch it. But just to ask you guys... You know, you don't need to be a rocket science to see there's a problem. We're not producing, you know, class football players. And just to ask you guys, you know, as football men, because we're just supporters. You know, I know you're supporters too. But, you know, what do you feel the real issue is? Why are we not producing class football players over the last maybe 20 years? What do you think the issue is?
It's a great point, Ian, because, you know, we mentioned it last night. For the fourth time in succession, the under 17 Scotland team has made the European Championships. Something happens between that age and there's a black hole. Why is that black hole there, Gordon or Mark? And what is the black hole?
Listen, is it opportunity? If we knew that, we'd be sitting in a job in the SFA. What happens from 17 to 21?
I think the black hole, especially in Scotland, is the lack of reserve team football.
So it's a lack of opportunity.
Yeah, I think that reserve team football in years gone by educated young players before they got to the first team, Jerry. I.e., for instance, I remember when I was 16, instead of playing under 17s, 18s, 19s, I went into reserves. I played in front of Celtic reserves, 20,000, for instance. I played against guys like Danny McGrain, one of the best players ever, coming back from injury. I played with guys like David Cooper.
So the under-20s development league is actually counterproductive, as far as you're concerned?
Well, it's shown it so far, because we're saying what is happening here with the 17s, and you touched on the praise that you've just given them, and then we seem to lose a lot of good players and they never fulfil their potential at the end. And I do believe that reserve team football was us going back the way, because I think you've got anybody wakes up tomorrow and goes to work, learns their trade from you know, the top professionals. No matter where you go, you come in for work experience. It's the same as football. If you're playing with international football players, that sort of education you get is priceless, Jerry, for me. So only my opinion, I think the biggest gap, especially in Scotland, is reserve team football for me.
Mark. Yes, Ian.
Sorry.
Yes, Ian.
But see, if you guys can see this, you know, why is it not being fixed? Why is this issue? Why is there no people sitting down and recognising the same problems and the same issues that you are seeing, and they're not fixing this issue?
Well, I think Ian, to be fair, I think the SFA are finally getting round to it, and disagree if you want, but I think Malky Mackay's position, and the fact that it's pretty much a stick on that both Celtic and Rangers will have so-called coke teams in the lower leagues, maybe even next season or the season after. Malky Mackay's role for me, Mark, is to make sure that these young players are given the correct advice, and I know it's not his fight, his decision, end up at a club where they are going to get opportunities, and then make sure that the Scotland national team knows all about them and doesn't forget them.
Jerry, how hard a job is that to do? Especially, I know it's not one guy, Malky Mackay's ahead of it, but he's putting a lot on his plate. I know he's trying to get round a lot of these clubs. I think he's trying to get round every club and have a chat. Now that's difficult. I know he's got people working under him, but it's very difficult to do that and then trust the clubs who own the players to take his advice on. I hate to say an impossible task, but it's almost impossible, because the clubs have got an interest of themselves. Yeah. You know, they want to protect themselves. They want the best. They want to stay in the league. Doesn't matter how they win. If they play the long ball and they play a bunch of foreigners in one kit, they don't really care. So Malky Mackay has to try and persuade the clubs otherwise, and the clubs have to buy into it, and that's going to take a long time. Gordon's saying about reserve football, but if they know, I mean, we're talking the last 20 years, if they know, when I came through it, there was reserve football, and then it got done away with. I'm sure it came back again and then disappeared again into this development league. It keeps chopping and changing. So is it really going to help if we go back to that? And you know, Ian's asking what is the answer. Like I say at the start, I don't know the answer as much as everybody else. We'd all would like to sit here and say we need to do A, B and C and it'll be perfect in 10 years.
But surely, Ian, the problem is that when you go back to when Scotland were qualifying regularly for major tournaments, Scottish players were getting regular games. So they all got the opportunity to progress, to develop and to show themselves, because, you know, the world was a big place back then and there wasn't the influx of foreign players as there is nowadays. Nowadays, if you're a manager, you've got scouts all over Europe and all over the world. So the Scottish guys aren't, in a sense, getting the game time, because just arithmetically there's not as many Scots in the teams, and so they end up at clubs where they're not getting a game. If you're not getting a game, you might still be getting picked for Scotland because there's no one else, but you're not going to be as good.
But the biggest fact I read today, I can't believe, and you know, something has to be done. Chelsea have got 30 players out on loan. Juventus, I think it's Juventus, 50 players out on loan.
But that, but they're, if those people are playing for the club they're out on loan with, then surely that's a positive thing, and we should look at the loan system in this country as long as they then get a game.
Yeah, but it depends where their development is, where they've put them to, because we've seen, you know, there's a perfect example. Morton are using the loan system very, very well, and Jim Duffy's been working very hard at going and picking players out. You're right, we've got to have a level that they can play at so that they can learn their trade. And that's where I think, yes, if we can... But is it right just to bring all the best players in and go, right, we're going to send them all out on loan? Or, as I touched on, I think reserve team football, if you get back to it, Gerry, you will see the pattern happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that just playing in this under 20 development league, I don't think you progress quickly enough into being a football, first team football player. I really don't.
Ian, have we shone any light on the problem for you?
Yeah, well, yeah, I suppose I probably agree. I think, you know, when I look at it, I think it was in the 80s when, you know, when kind of Souness came, when he came to Rangers and, and David Murray and started flinging money about, and then Celtic had to do that, and, you know, other clubs had to follow suit in Scotland, and the boys coming through weren't getting that opportunity that you used to get, you
of
know,
course.
The way I seen it. And I think it started to, you know, started, for me, the problem started then. But Celtic and Rangers obviously, you know, had to do things like that to compete with the other teams in England and France and Italy and Spain and stuff like that, so I understand that. But I was reading an article about, you know, it was Andy McLaren the other day, and he was talking about, he feels, you know, I kind of agree, because I used to do a bit of coaching as well, you know, he feels that football is becoming middle class, that there's not enough money. Now, I've got a five-year-old, and he's only turned five, and I'm only £40 a month, I'm saying only. You know, he's playing for a wee team down here, and he's £40. My brother's got two kids, he's, one's five and one's seven, and he's £90 a month now. Now, basically, we can afford that, but there's a lot of families out there that can't afford that.
And Malky Mackay, listen, Andy McLaren said it first on this programme at the beginning of January that, you know, £10 a week we're missing out on the next Kenny Dalglish. But Malky Mackay, when he was asked about this again on this programme, said that his job, he will make sure that every kid who has got the talent and is showing the promise will get the opportunity. So that's what he says.
But, I know, but I feel kids show talent at different times. You know, not just at, you know, 5 or 7 or 8 or 9. You know, kids progress at different ages. So, you know, so is there money going to be there? Is there people going to be watching? You know, is the scouting system working? I don't know, you know. For me, it's multifaceted. And I don't know. I just wanted to fling that question to you guys to see what you feel. Because there's a problem.
Absolutely.
It's a real problem. And it's embarrassing, you know, for me to say it as a football fan that I didn't watch my country play football last night.
And there, oh, absolutely, Ian, I can understand that. And there's also the thing about young players themselves. Do they apply themselves as much as they used to?
Ian's right there. If every player's going to get the opportunity, I mean, players do develop at different ages. So, I mean, I remember when I was younger, you had guys at 13-year-old and people, they were going to Chelsea and Man United for weekends, and you thought, these guys are absolute world beaters. And then they just disappeared off the face of the earth. And before you knew it, There was another guy who wasn't so good at that age, but the few years in between then became, you know, a player. Some of them are in the Scotland squad. So players develop at different ages. So if you're saying every player is going to get an opportunity, how do you judge that?
Well, in terms of being priced out of it, and when it came to the money side of things, Malky Mackay said he would make sure that no child would miss out on an opportunity because they couldn't afford it.
Right, okay, so... So then who funds the...
Well, listen, I'm just telling you,
right,
that's what he says.
If that happens, that's great.
And he's got to stand by that.
That's gone back to the old times and where we did produce real quality players, and let's hope that happens.
Thanks a lot for your call, Ian. Nice to talk to you. That was Ian there in Renton. We've got another Ian here in London. Hi, Ian.
Hi there, Jed. How are you doing, mate?
I'm all right. You don't sound as if you're from London.
I know, mate. Told you are relocated down here to work.
Oh, are you Greenock, Ian?
I'm a Greenock, Ian, yeah.
Oh, how's London? Not been so good the last couple of days, but it's a cracking city, isn't it?
Ah, it's brilliant, Gerry. I'm working all over, mate. I work at the big events at Wembley.
Oh, brilliant.
I was at the last two big events here, Tottenham and Genk, and
Man United and Southampton.
One of the best. I know it's had a bit of bad press in the last couple of days and unfairly, well, but it's a cracking place, London.
I was not too far away from it, Jerry, what happened, but a couple of my mates were running about the area, but they weren't involved in it. But as I say, it's a tragedy, mate. As I say, we've just got to watch ourselves.
It is indeed. But listen, if I know Londoners, then they will not be cowed by it at all. So
they won't, mate. They won't.
You're in a great place, Ian. Anyway, what was it you wanted to talk about tonight?
Hi, just hi, Mark, and how is it, Gordon?
Yes,
hi,
Ian.
Gordon.
Hi, Ian.
He's got a resident Canada fan, Gordon DL.
Yeah, Gordon DL, the resident Canada fan. Yep. Last night's game and going on to Sunday's game. Last night's game was obviously Gordon Strachan playing the so-called reserves, but the boy Cairney stood up for me last night. And as I say, I still like Stephen Naismith on the Scotland team. But Sunday's important because we've got six games left, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Four at home, two away. We've just got to go for broke now. Go 4-4-2, but not playing two up front, if you know what I mean. Just Naismith behind. D-League Griffiths a chance. The other two guys have had a chance. I would throw Cairney in with Scott Brown, along with Armstrong and Forrest, and you throw it back. No been biased here, by the way. No been biased, been a Celtic supporter. Mark, you might agree with me. Cairney left back, Mulgrew centre back, alongside
Sviatchenko.
Christopher Berra, chance, and Akechi Anya at right back. I thought he had a great game last night. Mm-hmm. But guys, what do you think? We've got to go for broke. We've got nothing to lose now. As you say, your permutation, Jerry.
Yeah. It's interesting, Mark Wilson. You said that Gordon Strachan would stick to the same.
I think he'll stick to the same
4-5-1. But
I would, if it was me, I would go a three at the back where they've got strength. Put. I agree with you. I would play Tierney. I like Andy Robertson. Don't think he's done much wrong. I just prefer Tierney the way he's playing. I would put Tierney in the left, Anya in the right. And then the midfield is for me, would be Brown, Armstrong, and another. I don't know much about Cairney, so maybe him. And I would go with the two up front. I think that's an attacking.
Matt Ritchie as well, of course.
Oh, well, Matt Ritchie as well can come in. But Forrest. I think that's attacking enough. I know what Ian's saying. You know, stick two up front. We're running out of time here. And we need goals. And the formation we've played has proved that we don't score enough.
Mm-hmm. Can I come back, Jerry?
Yes, Ian.
What you're saying, Mark, sorry for interrupting, mate.
No.
Obviously, we need goals. But I'll tell you now, Gordon, you'll agree as well, so will you, Jerry. Naismith comes up with important goals.
Yeah, he does. He
and
does,
that, yeah. I like Naismith. And him and, I think him and,
Griffiths.
Him and Griffiths can bounce up one another.
Well, let's hope we don't do that, but anyway.
No,
do you know my biggest concern, Ian?
What's that, Gordon?
And I think once we get that team out there on Sunday, I think we'll be able to score goals. I'm worried about the centre-backs.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
I thought that Canada cut us open last night.
You think Scotland will need to score at least two to win the game?
Yeah, I know that we've brought Charlie McGrew back in there, and I was a big fan of him, especially when he won Player of the Year playing at left centre back with Celtic. He went down to Blackburn. I'm sure that I don't think he's playing centre back at Blackburn. I think he's playing a bit forward. I think we're just a bit weak in there, Jerry. It's trying to keep that back door closed. And watching last night, if we were up against top internationals last night, I think we would have lost more than one goal.
Thanks a lot for your call, Ian. All the best to you down there in London. It's 20 minutes to 8. Right, full-time teaser tonight. I've given you the top 10 national teams according to the FIFA rankings. But Richard Mackay's question from Singapore, I think, Richard, this might be a little bit difficult for the guys.
Very hard.
Difficult for everyone.
Buffon,
we're looking for the record cap holders
Buffon,
for the top 10. Buffon is Italian. That is correct.
Is that in the top 10?
Say again?
Italy in the top 10?
Well, no, but I was just saying he's Italian, but Italy's not in the top 10.
I'm going further afield. I'm an award winner tonight, so I'm not really worried about it. I'm going further afield.
Right, any clue with Argentina?
I've just wrote a whole load of names down. Zanetti.
Oh, correct.
Messi.
First one, Zanetti. Well done.
Yes.
No way,
Marky. 143 caps.
Yes.
Javier Zanetti.
Give him the stick.
Right, Brazil. I'll give you the number of caps,
Cafu.
Right? Cafu, well done, 142.
Right, that's me.
142 caps for Cafu. Germany, 137 caps.
No, where are?
No.
Schweinsteiger.
It's all right. Schweinsteiger
or Oliver Kahn, I wrote down.
No. Keep going. No. I'll let you throw guesses at me, and if you get it right, you get it right. That's fair enough, because it is a difficult one tonight.
How many caps, sorry?
137 caps for Germany. We'll do this more in a couple of minutes when we come back. Thursday's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
What do you think of tonight's Super Scoreboard? Call now to have your say. 0141 951 1025.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of Hampden Park. Please gamble responsibly.
We understand totally the supporters' kind of a little bit of kind of malaise about it. You know that we've had some disappointing results, and you know what is it, a cheer. You know, but you know, I think that a positive result on Sunday night can kind of win them back that little bit. And then, of course, it is the England game, which everybody wants a part of, and suddenly it's a different world.
Mark McGee there speaking after last night's draw with Canada and ahead of Sunday's World Cup qualifier against Slovenia. It's exactly 7:45 on Thursday's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, Jerry McCulloch taking your calls on 0141 951 1025. Rob's on the phone, so's Pat. Let's just get a quick update from the guys. They're looking for the top, the record cap holder for each of the countries in FIFA's top 10. You've given me Zanetti of Argentina, Cafu of Brazil. Go for Germany next. Throw some names at me. I'll tell you when you're right.
Come on, Mark. I told you. You take it.
Well, you think Müller. You know it offhand. Not Müller.
Go for it.
No, we'll come back to that one.
No, just throw names. I'll tell you. You don't need to. No. Okay. Right.
Ronaldo, Portugal.
Ronaldo, Portugal. Well done. Yeah. 136 caps. What about Spain?
Casillas.
167 caps. What about France?
I've wrote Deschamps here, but I don't think that's right.
No. What about Colombia? 111
caps. Australia. Valderrama.
No. Valderrama.
Yeah, I told you that.
Carlos Valderrama.
You didn't know his name. I described him. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Uruguay.
Suarez. No.
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 France, Belgium, and Chile and Germany.
See, Chile's a hard one. I wrote Zamorano or Sanchez. But
Chile is 110 caps.
Oh, that's tough.
Someone who's been in the news a lot this season.
Oh, really?
Yep. And not just in Chile. In England.
England.
Let's go to the phones. Let's speak to Rob in Blair Daldy. Hi, Rob.
How you doing, Jerry? How you doing, guys?
Hi, Rob.
I'm just a wee bit confused and bewildered about tracking selection policies. Like the boy Tom Kearney's been touted around England for a long, long time as a potential star. The boy's 26, and that's him just getting an international call-up now for Scotland in the midfield, where we're struggling for kind of lock pickers in the middle of the park. Tom Kearney, in my opinion, he could be playing a whole lot forward. He could be playing in the kind of final third attacking midfield. Last night he had him holding in the middle of the park. Next day, I think at one point, well, Barry Bannon came on for him, but Barry Bannon is one of the choices that I just kind of get my head around him. Why is Bannon in a Scotland jersey? Also last night, Liam Cooper, is injured Liam Cooper at Leeds?
No, he's nice. The only one that's probably not going to make it is Ryan Fraser.
Right, so was Cooper in the squad last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on the bench, I'm sure, yeah.
So why not bring him on? It's a friendly. You're playing Charlie McGrew. No disrespect, Charlie McGrew is a great servant for club and country, but the guy's what? How old is McGrew? He's 32, 33 now.
I think he'll be 30, probably.
Well, listen, Rob, you know, we heard Mark McGee and Gordon Strachan both say they were going to rest players who had played a lot recently and who were due to play on Sunday. Maybe it means Cooper's going to get a game on Sunday.
The point about Kearney you're making, he is better forward. I think last night, just my opinion, that Gordon Strachan is maybe one of these players he's trying to get into the team on Sunday, but he's got in his mind that he's going to play maybe Armstrong. And a couple of wide guys, and he's looking for somebody to play that holding role with Brown, and he's thinking, how can I get my best players into this side, and can Kearney play that holding role?
Is he going to drop Fletcher then? Because Fletcher has done it again. I know Fletcher's 33, but he's playing week in, week out the Premiership.
I think what the game needs, I said it earlier on the show, is Scotland to play with power and pace and be clever, and I think he might in my opinion, I think he might go with Drayton Fletcher and putting maybe a Kearney in there and an Armstrong in there, people that are powerful and quick and can move the ball quickly. Rather, you would play Fletcher away to England or away from home, somebody that can break play up and slow things down, thinking Sunday it needs a different type of player in there.
So why now? Why now? Why has he not done this before then against teams at home? Why just wait to this point when it's almost like the horse is bolted to bring in these boys?
Well, to be fair, Tom Kearney is in a rich vein of form at the moment. He's captain in Fulham, he's playing, he's scoring, Rob, so you've got to look at that.
It has been. I don't know, but it has been for the past two or three seasons. That's my point. He's been hot property down south for the past two, 3 years, and this is him now just coming into Strachan's mindset. Why is this not happened a long, long time ago? That's my point. It seems to be, in this country, you hit 25, 26, that's your international age. Obviously, Ollie Burke, but I think Ollie Burke's a bit of an enigma. I think the boy's got a good move. He's got a good agent. He's got a move away to Leipzig. But he's not playing much football over there, but he's a first-choice starter for Scotland.
All right, Rob, let's get Pat involved in this. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Jerry. Hey,
hi.
Gordon.
Hi, Pat. Pat's in Bayliston. Hi, Pat. What's your point?
My point is, we were just talking about Scotland and the last time we were at a major competition and stuff like that. And I think we lost a lot when we started bringing foreign players in and all that. And I'll tell you the reason why. And when I grew up, when the football was in the 70s and the 80s and stuff like that, you had Dundee United, Aberdeens, Hearts, Rangers, Celtic, all going far in Europe. And the reason being is they played a Scottish style of football. And I think we lost a big bit when we started bringing foreign players in and tried to get us to be technical. I remember watching, and I'm a Celtic fan, but I remember Hearts, Gordon will probably remember Hearts playing Bayern Munich one Wednesday night. I think Mike Galloway scored a screamer for about 20 yards. They lost the game eventually, but they played like Bayern Munich off the park, gave them a game. And it was simply because they played a Scottish style of football. And I think when you take a national team and we fill and we've got the big guy up front and the ball holding it down and you've got your Roy Aitkins going through players and your Willie Mullers and your Alec McLeish's at the back. And I think we lost a big bit when we tried to go continental rather than sticking we know what we're good at. You could take Rangers and Celtic in their UEFA Cup runs. Martin O'Neill had like the Bobo Baldies, the Chris Suttons, the John Hartsons. Walter Smith had his team. There was no extra special players there, maybe apart from maybe Henrik Larsson or whatever, or the Paul Gascoignes or the Loudrops. But it was 8-9 battlers with one or two special players. And see the Spanish and German, they hate coming up against that. So we're really good at that. We're Scottish, we're bold, we're brave. And I think that's, you should get back to that. And I do believe that will start qualifying for these competitions. Just what you think of that, guys?
Get back to being Scottish, Gordon Dale.
I agree. I think that we've got to play to our own strengths, Jerry. Play to a system that suits the players. We're looking at, you touched upon Barnsley tonight. He's a right back. He's an actual right back playing in the best league in Europe, apparently. And we're playing a makeshift guy and right back last night. Will he play on Sunday? I think we've just got to get system, suits the players, and go and play it in our style and really get the tempo up, get in about it. Sunday's massive for us. I hope Gordon Strachan gets the right team and I hope we get the right result.
Are you not confident at all about Sunday, Pat?
Nah, it's the usual, isn't it? We're going to go tippy-tappy football. You seen Canada last night, can I? They didn't play good football, but it was a sort of a no route one stuff, but they got to our box a lot quicker, where we were 10, 12, 13 passes to get to the box, and then when nothing was on, the ball went back again. And I don't believe in the football I've seen in the 70s and 80s. Direct football, teams hate it. The teams hate it. I mean, the big 6 foot, whatever, Joe Jordan's towering up on you, and you've got the wee guy running off you. Like, I don't know who Gordon played for up front with Rangers. But Gordon wasn't the biggest player, but I'll guarantee you it was maybe Colin McAdam or Derek Johnston.
He was
playing off of them and getting the knockdowns. And I've got, honestly, and Colin McAdam, Derek Johnston, or you could use Chris Sutton and John Hartson, defenders hated it. They hate it. Ball into the box, first time, 100 mile an hour, give your best for 90 minutes. And when you look back in my previous qualifications and stuff like that, that's how we done it. That's the Scottish way.
Alright, Pat, thanks a lot for your call, Pat. Sorry to bring it to an end, but we have come to the end. Apart from the full time teaser, well, guys, I need the record cap holder for Germany.
Is it? It's not Matthäus, is it?
Well, it could be Matthäus, to be honest, because
Closer
is the one that's got it for Germany. But
that's what I told you.
If you take it into account, you know, before the split as well, then it's, you know, I think UEFA actually recognise Matthäus. But anyway, you've got that one.
How many are we waiting on?
Belgium.
Belgium's a hard one.
I'm going to have to start telling you these.
Company.
No.
Give us a clue.
You're going back a bit for Belgium. You're going back to the 80s.
Oh, I know Belgium. Was he the manager that he ended up the manager? And the Belgian manager?
No, but I don't think so. That year, though,
Germany's
that team.
Name.
You want to know?
Yeah.
Kullemans.
No, I never got that.
Jan Kullemans, 96 caps. I'll tell you, France, come on.
Turam,
well done, 142 caps. And what about Uruguay? Difficult one. 116 caps.
Give us a clue, who do you play with?
It's Maxi Pereira.
I never got that.
And finally, Chile.
It's got to be Alexis Sanchez.
It's not.
No.
It's a wee boy, bravo.
110 caps, bravo.
There you go.
The goalie.
Claudio Bravo. Thanks very much to Mark Wilson.
Many did we not get?
Thanks to Gordon DL. Don't forget that AMVPM big revelation tomorrow morning on Bowie at Breakfast. Who has won? Is it myself and Gordon, or is it George and Cassie? It's rowing tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow night with Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. Derek Johnson off this weekend, so Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray joining me from 6 tomorrow. Keep it on Clyde 1. Callum Gallagher is up next.
Super Scoreboard, the home of football in Glasgow and the West.
With William Hill, proud sponsors of the Scotland national team. Please gamble responsibly.